right. It is 18 minutes after 7. You've got it on KHUM. Our Friday Funnies are coming up shortly at 7:30 with Dan St. Paul. The album is Get in the Booth. He's going to be playing tomorrow night at the Old Steeple here in Ferndale. And he is here in the studio with me. Thanks for coming in.
Weird, isn't it? That I'm actually on the record and in the studio at the same time.
I don't know how you pull that one off.
I don't know.
It's a miracle of science.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're in a new age.
That's right.
This is great. It's great to be on K-Hum. I thought that you was going to be humming, like, you know, 24-hour, 24/7, just a lot of humming.
And it used to be. We changed the format.
Did you change the format?
Right.
Not a lot of hum fans out there anymore.
Yeah, not a lot of hummers.
Yeah, right.
Lost,
I didn't want to go
art.
There, but you did.
Lost
anyway.
Well, we were playing the new pornographers, so
that's right. You did,
right?
You did, as opposed to the old pornographers.
That's right.
And I was just saying that the new pornographers, they're in HD.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how you can tell them from the old
too.
And 3D. Well, 3D. That would be. That would be something.
That makes it
a little
better.
Yes.
A little better.
So I'd never get
tonight.
Anything done.
Yeah, tomorrow night at the Old Steeple.
I'm at the Old Steeple tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. That's why I'm
cool.
Here. It is cool. I've never been to the Old Steeple.
It's a steeple that's quite old.
Is it a former church?
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very impressive.
So about three quarters of the way through my show, I will be serving communion.
Yes, exactly.
And so you can, like, kill two birds with one stone.
Perfect.
Yeah, you can come. I'll be taking confessions, too, in the back before church, so you can receive the sacrament.
Excellent. Excellent. So it's really rare that I actually have performers in this early because
it's early.
It's early.
And it's Ferndale. And so I understand. I can totally understand why.
Yeah, it's like I was explaining. It's like this early for a performer is like asking most people to get up at 2 a.m.
You got that right. But, I'm getting older, so I think just naturally I get up earlier.
Need less sleep.
I think you do need less sleep. I think because you realize that you don't have that much time left, so you want
to... You don't want to waste it.
You want to make...
Plenty time for that later.
Squeeze every action out of every minute that you can. So, yeah. So, I don't mind getting up early. That's good. Let's just not do this every day.
Perfect. So, despite the name St. Paul, you are actually from the Bay Area.
I am, and my real last name is Scopazzi. S-C-O-P-A-Z. I can't use it professionally. Italian.
Uh-huh.
I can't use it professionally because scopare in Italian slang means to go out and pick up on women.
Wow.
And Pazzi means crazy. So literally my name translates into Charlie Sheen. So there's just no way ethically that I'm
perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm Italian. My parents are both from the old country.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came over in 1948. Never got the language down. But if I try to correct him, he make me feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with the one that he goes, "Oh, Danny, I'm tired. I'm going to go in bed now." I said, "No, Dad, you don't say in bed. You say, I'm going to go to bed." He went, "Hey, I'm not going to go stand next to the bed. I'm going to get inside. If I'm just going to stand next to the bed, Shamo, you wouldn't even be here right now. What are you talking about?" That's my dad. He always said that. "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" You know why? He didn't know what you're talking about. He was an immigrant. Yeah, yeah.
And good thing he got over in the 40s, because if it was today, he wouldn't be able to get in the country.
That's it.
That's right.
In fact, you know what? They discovered seven planets recently.
Yeah,
unfortunately, all of them have an immigrant ban, so we can't go.
Oh, well.
I know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
We were going to go and make those planets great again and see what happened. We can't even go.
Can't go?
No.
No.
Oh, well.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yes.
So, how long have you been doing the comedy?
The comedy?
Thing?
Well, professionally, 36 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to get pretty good at it.
Get it down.
In another 36 years, I'll be a headliner.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so.
Perfect.
I'll be making the big bucks then.
Were you like one of those
class
wise
clowns?
Guy? Yeah,
no.
Wise guy in class? No.
Not really.
No.
I mean, outside of class, I was very funny. Inside of class, I kind of nose to the grindstone.
Yeah.
I actually have a master's in special education. I taught for a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't start doing this until I was 29.
Okay.
That was really late. It's like, don't even go to Hollywood. You're already too old. You know, kind of stuff.
Wow.
But I went anyway. I showed him.
It's kind of funny. It's like, you know, I've talked to several comedians, interviewed several, and a lot of them were not the class clown. I mean, that's actually kind of more rare that they were the class clown.
It probably is. I mean, a lot of people don't really understand that stand-up comedy takes a lot of thought a lot of brains, a lot of organizational skills, and artistic. You know, you have to figure out who you are and what you're saying and whether it fits with who you are. And, you know, there's not a lot of dumb comics out there. And obviously, at least the ones that last.
Right.
So I think they're more thinkers than they are just like, you know, goof offs.
Yeah, and I know, you know, when I went, you know, kind of deep with a lot of them, it was a lot of comedians were kind of shy, and they had a good sense of humor, and that was sort of like a defense mechanism.
I think that's true. I'm not life of the party guy. Uh-huh. You know, if I go to if I'm in a room with a bunch of people I don't know, I'm looking to get out as soon as I can. I know that sounds strange.
I know.
Unless I'm on stage. Yeah. If I'm on stage and I'm expected to be funny, there's no problem there. But if I'm just expected to talk to people, you know, it's just like I'm not the most comfortable with it, you know? Unless, you know, like when I met my wife, that's different. But, you know, then I was really interested in talking to that person. But, yeah, in general, I'm not a real good mingler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was with me also. You know, it's like I've been doing radio for 40 years, and yeah, I get up on stages and talk to thousands of people at the time. It doesn't bother me, but it's like, you know, when I was in school, I was extremely shy. My goal was to just not be seen. If I could just get through the day and have no one talk to me, I'd be happy. I'd be very happy.
If you could just commute digitally now, that would have been the best thing.
I know. It's like, how'd you get into this? I don't know.
I don't know if they have high school online. I don't think they do.
No, probably not. Probably not.
That would be a good thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so, but I understand. I totally understand. Somebody comes out and is very physical in public and very, very visible and very verbal. When they're not in public, tend to shy away.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let's go over, you know, your career. I know you've been doing this for a long time, but you've also had a lot of guest appearances on lots of different things. I was kind of reading your bio.
Let's, oh, really?
Yeah. So let's talk about you know, where you've been, what you've done.
Okay.
Dan St. Paul's greatest hits.
you know, well, I started in San Francisco
in
1981. I was in a comedy team for 6.5 years, a woman and I.
Mm-hmm.
We split up in 87, and then I went solo, and in the process of doing that, even when Sue and I were together, we did a lot of TV. This was the golden age of comedy, like the 80s and the early 90s. Every network had its own stand-up comedy show.
Sure.
You had VH1 Stand-Up Spotlight with Rosie O'Donnell, and the MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour, and Evening at the Improv on A&E, and all these shows. And every comedian did at least one appearance. So I did like 5 on Evening at the Improv, and then several of those comic strip live on Fox, and a lot of those. So you did a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped because you had to get, at those days anyway, you had to be clean for TV.
Sure.
And so you really had to kind of like tighten up your dookie and make sure that the stuff was funny without being dirty. I wasn't dirty, but a lot of guys were, and they had to really change their act if they wanted to get on television.
Right.
And now it's totally different. Now, you know, the big thing is like to get your own Netflix special,
right,
or, you know, you could still get on like one of the late night shows, but it's more rare that they have stand-up comics on than it used to be.
Right.
So I moved to L.A. I was there for 8 years. Did a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of other things. I was in a loop group.
What's a loop group?
The majority of filming is done on a film or television show. They bring in a bunch of actors to do the voices of the people in the background.
Oh, okay.
The people in the background are not speaking during the filming of a film or a television show. They may be making motions with their mouths,
but they're not saying anything.
Otherwise, they'd have to pay them as actors.
Oh, wow.
This way, they just have to pay them as extras. So they save a lot of money that way. And then they'll bring in anywhere from, you know, 3 to 15 actors to come in and improvise their voices.
Are you kidding?
No.
And just say anything, right?
Well, you have to be a little bit better than that. You have to have some skill. You have to know how to match. You have to be a pretty good improviser. You have to come up with a lot of dialogue that's kind of appropriate to the scene in case something squeezes out. And sometimes you actually have to revoice somebody. So I did The Godfather 3, and there was a scene in which these two brothers, these henchmen, didn't speak any Italian. So I did their Italian for them.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's, in fact, Godfather 3 was the only film I had to write a non-disclosure agreement, and not talk about it.
Wow.
And I didn't. And
here's how they said it. They go, don't talk about
it. Don't talk about this. There's nobody should know about this. Yeah. All right. If you do, well, this is the last session you're going to be at. So
take the cannoli.
That's right. Right. Exactly. Take the gun. Leave the gun. But it was funny, and I figured out after I saw the movie why they made me sign that. Sofia Coppola was so bad in that movie, they didn't want anybody to know.
Wow.
I think that's the reason. But anyway, so I was in a loop group. We did a lot of movies and a lot of television stuff, which is great because you walk in, you go, you're there, you know, for the day. You get paid like a regular actor. I still get residuals, you know, 56 cents for doing
it.
Yeah, really, you know, for doing Father Dowling's Mysteries, you know. And, you know, so I was in L.A. and I did a lot of that. I got better at stand-up. And then the earthquake hit, the Northridge quake hit.
Yeah, you know, and, that hit 2 weeks after I moved here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you
I was
lucked
like,
out.
Wow, that was
you
timing.
You lucked out.
That was timing.
I know. So my wife and I and my son at the time, who was three, we moved back up to the Bay Area. And I was lucky. I hit right at the in 94, right at the beginning of the whole dot-com revolution.
Just beginning, yeah.
Yeah, and I did a lot of work for a lot of different companies, either as their presenter at trade shows or as a comedian at their events and whatnot, and did really well. We bought a house in Foster City, and I've been there ever since.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Foster City is a little suburb of San Francisco. Actually, it's a suburb of Oracle. Basically.
Right, exactly. Very familiar with it.
Right.
Yeah. So your show is, of course, tomorrow night at the Old Steeple. You've been in Humboldt before?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times. In fact, when I was in high school, me and two friends of mine, we decided to come up here to check out Humboldt State because we thought about I was going to be a forestry major. So we came up here, I remember, in his family van, which they owned a grocery store, so there was no seats in the back of the van. So one of us had to be in the back. And just kind of rumble around in the back, all the way up from the city, in the back of the van. And I remember going to see Planet of the... It was 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh,
just came out.
Wow.
And we made the mistake of getting stoned before we went.
That's not a good idea.
I remember making the turn to go to see the movie theater, and it took about a half an hour to make that turn. It was wild, but yeah,
fantastic.
And been up here many times since. My wife's brother still has a house up here.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and we'll actually play your album, Get in the Booth. When did you do this one?
That's about 2 years old.
Okay,
yeah,
it's pretty fresh.
Yes,
pretty fresh.
Yes, relatively. Fresh comedy.
Fresh comedy for you.
Organic.
That's right.
And good, natural and good for you.
And fair trade.
Fair trade, exactly.
That's right. All right.
Gluten-free as
well. And gluten-free. That's very important these days that comedy be gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.